Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Wall Street Journal headlines tells the story of Iran and the use of its war machine, the drones. Iranian drones in Ukraine project Tehran's power beyond Mideast, testing U.S. and Europe. I welcome Benham Bentaleblou of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow, to comment first on the drones in Ukraine. They are now a war machine that is not only threatening the people of Ukraine, but also the people of NATO. Is Iran now part of the hostile Russian force? Benham, a very good evening to you. There's not one answer to this, but is the Supreme Leader taking this risk because he does not fear retaliation from NATO or from the United States? Why did he decide to get involved? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, John. I think it's a great question. It's one that I tried to tackle with my friend and colleague, John Hardy, this week in Foreign Policy. Long story short, you are correct there, especially at the tail end. The lack of constraint that the Islamic Republic feels on its foreign and security policy is one main reason why it can afford to be so bold. And in essence, what it's done is it's expand the radius, the known radius of its arms proliferation. Many people on the front lines of this threat in the Middle East, whether you're talking about the Arabs or the Turks or the Israelis, or the Kurds even, any other group in the Middle East, they have long known of the Islamic Republic's mastery of the unmanned aerial threat spectrum because they face rockets, they face mortars, they face drones, they face ballistic missiles, they face cruise missiles. But with the expansion of that threat to Europe, this is essentially the Islamic Republic moving the knife closer to the European jugular than ever thought before. It has gotten some significant European attention. There's been EU and UK sanctions, not just against the country's morality police because of the brutal repression of the protests there, but against several entities and persons believed to be supporting the country's drone program. And I think more sanctions can be expected to be followed quite soon. So it is a wake-up call for Europe. It is the Islamic Republic moving the knife closer by choice. It is a reflection of the lack of constraint on its foreign and security policy, but it's also a few other strategic things. One, of course, is that by continuing to try to bog the West down in Europe, the Islamic Republic is hoping for a potentially freer hand in the Middle East. Remember, a long-standing element of this regime's foreign and security policy is to evict America from the Middle East. And if it can help add to the conflagration in Europe, it'll further facilitate the pivot that three U.S. and very different American presidents have tried to do in the Middle East. And then perhaps on a political and a technical note, the Islamic Republic covets a status boom for these unmanned aerial threats. Obviously, it's very weak at home right now, and it's looking to project strength abroad, so let's not forget about the political element there. And then the technical element. While the regime has been levying and proliferating these unmanned aerial threats in the battlefields of the Middle East, this is the expansion of it to Europe, and you could say potentially against a greater number of more advanced air and missile defense systems. So real learning about the battlefield impact of these capabilities. So there's lots of reasons why Khamenei is doing it.
The protests throughout Iran, I'm led to believe it's in major cities, minor cities, continuing since the middle of September. Question here is, I see how the regime is responding with brutality and sadism. We've seen that over the decades. Question here is Russia getting involved in any fashion with this? Iran is getting involved in Russia's fight. Is Russia lending intelligence services, surveillance services, surrogate bully boys? Anything that you've heard, Benham?
You know, there may be rumors of that. I haven't seen anything confirmed, so I would hate to put the cart before the horse. But in the past, we know that, for instance, the other great power competitor of the United States. China has been involved in the cyberspace and in the tech space with the Iranians, helping them move towards a national intranet, basically a hollowed through or walled off internet that the regime used to call the halal internet in the past. So it wouldn't be surprising if yet another great power who also sees these protests in the same vein and also shares the desire to cut at the United States and any forces that may be potentially allied with the United States in this way. I would keep my eyes open for more evidence and more data with respect to this space, particularly as the protests continue and particularly as the Islamic Republic looks for what to do, given that these protests have reached and surpassed their 40th day mark late this October, just a few days ago. So the more battlefields these two forces share, the closer and closer Moscow and Tehran will become. And regime survival will likely continue to be the overall priority of the Islamic Republic, which is precisely why it's doing things to look strong while the regime looks quite fragile at home.
Now the puzzle, the diplomatic puzzle, these many months of watching the Iran deal in Vienna and not in Vienna. There is every logical reason to say that it's over. It's not going to happen. Iran is participating in brutalizing and murdering people of Ukraine. Iran is brutalizing and murdering its own people. There was a massacre, I believe, in the besieged city of Zahedin recently. All of that suggests that no American administration would sit down at the table or participate in any kind of deal that empowered the Iran regime. So what is the status to our understanding of the Iran deal?
I sincerely hope that would remain the case, in the sense that so long as there are the brutal repression of Iranian protesters going on at home and the foreign aggression that the regime is engaging in fact widening, as you mentioned with the beginning of your segment about the Ukraine war, that no American administration, Republican or Democrat, would even think about some kind of nuclear diplomacy predicated on a deal as fatally flawed as the JCPOA. Moreover, I think the time for nuclear diplomacy based on that deal, you know, pending even without those two conditions, has long lapsed, because let's not forget, on nuclear merits alone, that would be a gross strategic mistake for the United States of America and its European and transatlantic partners. My fear here, of course, is that while some Western forces and some Western politicians and some Western entities may now be taking a premature victory lap with some of the more sporadic sanctions on the human rights front and on the drone front, should the Islamic Republic call in their Hail Mary, for lack of a better word, should Khamenei pick up the phone, should they look to procure this deal that the West has offered them on a silver platter for the past year and a half, that we might see more of a Machiavellian turn. And in that sense, what we've seen for the past month and a half by Western politicians, by Western leaders, would read, sadly, as ornamental and not instrumental in a new Iran policy. It would be gross, not just a gross strategic mistake, but moral mistake as well. And one that I think we should all caution our elected leaders not to make.
Back to the Ukrainian war, the attacks on Ukraine by Russia and the drones. The Wall Street Journal says more than 300 Iranian drones have targeted military units. Is this an escalatory turn for Russia? Right now, we're hearing that there are Iranian advisors in Crimea. Is there more to come? Are we looking at Russia recruiting some kind of Iranian surrogate force, like Iran recruited Hezbollah and parts and Afghanistan citizens to fight in Syria? Is there anything in train that's going to increase the likelihood of Iran on the ground in Ukraine?
Well, we don't want to put the cart before the horse on this, but the multiple stories emerging about military trainers, almost certainly these guys being Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, if they're involved in the drone program, for instance, more of these stories emerging, as well as stories about their deaths, particularly one that we saw that was first reported by an Israeli source and then shared across the English language media space. That might tell us that the story we saw about the changing and widening and first covert and then overt involvement in Syria might apply to Iranian support for Russia in Putin's imperial war in Ukraine. But in the short term, I would keep your eyes on these unmanned aerial threats and in the way that the Islamic Republic is looking to underwrite from a distance Putin's imperial adventure there.
Ben and Ben Talablu, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.